you pot us up. Are we live?
We're potted up. We're live, Sarah.
I don't know. I heard you saying something in there. I was like,
yeah,
did you hit play?
We hit play. We hit record. I may need to edit some stuff in later, but we're all good.
Where is my crew? I'm down to one, like, skeleton crew, okay? Here, I'm on this pirate ship. I'm captaining the ship, and, like, everyone has abandoned the ship, okay? Welcome to the Hey Frasier podcast. I'm wondering where the hell Paul Wharton is. He's not here. And let me just say, I think this has now created Mystery Gate Paul Wharton 2018. Okay, the only crew members that are here are AJ, Tried and True, our producer, and Shannon, who also helps us out. She's our digital content creator as well when Leslie isn't here. Paul Wharton is supposed to be here, but we get this text last night that essentially says, where is it? I'm going to read it. He says that he's had some dental surgery done and that he will not be able to join us because of his face. And that has already sparked a rumor around here. Do we really believe that Paul Wharton has had dental surgery? Have you seen his teeth? What could he possibly need done? They're like amazing teeth, okay? There's no surgery to be had, all right? This dude has never even, like, tartar, like, repels the minute they come in that mouth. Like, it's so freaking clean. Where is he? Well, my own theory is I'm actually a little bit concerned because we need to text him to ask if he can send us a photo because I think he's had lipo. And I'm not, like, this is no shade. Like, I'm going to call him after the show. I do. I think he said liposuction or something. Why couldn't you be here? Who cares? Like, even if your mouth is a little puffy, like, the audience wants to see you.
When you got a face peel, you went on live television with your crusty ass face. And you had no shame. Where the hell is Paul? Who cares?
I have no shame.
He probably looks cute with puffy cheeks.
I think he would look adorable. I don't know. I'm tending to think that there is something going on. I really do. I think he's had lipo. I think he's had a peel. I think there is something major happening, and that is why he's not coming in.
Oh, he gonna be mad at you. I can't wait.
Well, Holly listens. Holly's Paul's sister listens every single week. Holly, this is a huge hello to you. I will text Paul if you text him first. Tell him we want a photo. Otherwise, we are threatening to post a photo of him in the early 2000s where he was a hair model and he had the longest ass Rapunzel hair you've ever seen in his life. And it is like flowing. Actually, AJ, you know what? Bring up that picture. I think we're going to have to do it at the end. Yeah, I think we're going to have to do it.
We'll bring it up in the end.
You guys, welcome to the show. We have a great show. So Paul isn't here, but I do have a special guest. She's a friend of mine. She worked at Fox 5 in D.C. As you all know, we're worldwide. This podcast is everywhere, right? I'm in the Dulles Airport. I'm flying to Detroit. People are like, Frasier, I love the show. I like crap my pants right there. I'm like, oh my God, you listen? I love it. Everywhere we go, people listen. Thank you for sharing the podcast. I don't think I thank you enough, really. You guys make this show possible. Every time we have like a new advertiser, you're buying Misty Blue Boutique clothes, you're buying HelloFresh. I'm in love with you. Thank you. I mean, God, I try to entertain you a little bit. I inspire occasionally just because I'm batshit crazy and things work out. Whatever. Anyway, so thank you. And I don't even know where I was going with this. I completely lost track. But basically what I was saying was thanks. I wanted to thank you. And I want to thank some of our sponsors before we get into the show. And that was what brought me to that whole roundabout thing is the guest on the show today. Sorry, I'm already excited. The guest on the show today is a woman named Ronica Cleary, who I have worked with at Channel 5 for the past couple of years. She is amazing. She's a political reporter there. She was always at the White House asking questions to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Oh, I can't wait to ask her what she thinks about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I don't know. The show has been political this week. I'm not sure if I like this. AJ, are you a fan? No. AJ, yeah. Bring us back to pop culture and, you know, whatever. Like something that's not political.
No, I was going to say that I was born and raised in D.C. and I'm really bad with politics. Like
Do you know who Sarah Huckabee Sanders is? What's her title?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
What's her title?
Sarah, you're going to make me look like an idiot on the podcast. I know she's a part of the Republican Party. She's inside the cabinet.
Yeah.
White House correspondent.
I think she's the press secretary.
Press secretary.
I think.
Yeah, I'm back here with Shannon. Shannon's helping me out.
Yeah. You guys, welcome to the show. Helen's on, Tracy's on, Madonna. Madonna! Madonna says that Paul could be having a denture cleaning. Okay, really,
you know what? Does he have those really perfect teeth that you put in? What are they called?
Veneers?
Veneers.
Well, I think veneers just go over your regular teeth. No? Veneers, like, what do they do? Rip your teeth out and then implant new ones?
They shave down your teeth.
They shave
down your current teeth? Yeah.
And this is Shannon, by the way.
And then they cover them with veneers.
Why?
I do know that. They like shave them to a point and then they cap them. Oh,
and
God.
How long do veneers last?
Forever. And they're like chiclet white.
Oh, yeah, perfect. They're perfect.
They're like the perfect teeth. That's why like celebrities always have them and then their teeth never like get at all stained because they're just like plastic teeth.
Oh, my God.
Like repellent.
That's incredible.
Maybe that's what Paul's doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys, thanks for joining. If you're on Facebook Live, share it right now on your page. We're obsessed with sharing the show. Thank you so much. Ronica Cleary is going to talk to us. Actually, not about politics. I just said that because that was kind of her beat at Channel 5 when she was there. But she's a friend of mine, and she was also a former pageant contestant. And as you all may have heard yesterday, the Miss USA pageant has now removed the gown portion and the bikini portion. So we're going to talk to her about her reactions. I have some thoughts on that as well. AJ, you're young. AJ is like the youngest member of this show. Okay. So she's 23 years old. And people, by the way, were emailing me and giving me shit. They were like, it's about time you shared your real age. I'm tired of you joking. Okay, fine. I'm 36. It was like a fucking joke. Okay. Like,
and last episode,
I was hitting on this 24 year old.
33. I'm 34. I'm really 28.
Everyone knows it's a joke by now, right? Okay. For the record, someone write it down. Today, what is today? June 7th, 2018. June 6th. I don't even know.
One of the two.
I'm 36. I was born in 82. There you go. Okay. But I love to joke about my age to people who don't really follow it.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
So have you ever watched a pageant, AJ?
Yes. I used to be really into them. And then I started really getting into the Victoria's Secret pageant. So, yeah, I watch pageants.
You mean the Victoria's Secret show? Isn't that just a show where they come out?
Yeah, it's a show. Yeah, right. It's not really a pageant. They just all look emaciated and beautiful.
Emaciated.
Not that I think being emaciated is beautiful, but I think they still work really hard for their bodies and they look beautiful.
Well, we're going to discuss that. Does anybody, if you're on Facebook right now, do you even care? Do you watch any Miss USA, Miss America pageants at all? I'm dying to know. And Ronica is going to be on the podcast. So we're going to talk about that. We also have to talk about, I'm fascinated by this topic because I'm sure a lot of people can relate. We're starting to talk about kids more on this show because I'm getting like baby fever. Like I really want to have a child. So there's a great article about how long like someone in your office should bring in their child for. And what I mean by that is like, is it okay if your kid comes to the office for an hour a day? Should the kid be able to stay the whole time? But essentially, kids are now being welcomed in the workplace like never before, but it's also majorly disruptive to the workforce. So I want to know what you guys all think about that. And then, oh my God, I'm beyond depressed. Kate Spade died yesterday. She hung herself in her apartment in New York. And much like every woman listening to this podcast, we probably all own Kate Spade bags. I was devastated. Devastated. I read this, 55 years old. AJ, you also, this story really struck you too, right? You've had a hard time understanding, which right. I think a lot of people do, how a mother could take her own life.
Yeah. And my mom, I don't know if I've ever actually said it, but my mom deals with depression on a daily basis.
Oh, she does. Yes.
Right. So this struck me because my mom has had a hard childhood and I think she's overcome a lot. And for me to see somebody as big as Kate Spade and so successful as a mom, she has a husband of 24 years, you think she has a perfect life and then she takes her life. So you just never know what struggles someone's going through. And I think a lot of celebrities have talked about it on their pages and, you know, David Spade, her brother-in-law. But yeah, you just really never know. Somebody could be so successful and have a high-rise six-bedroom apartment in Manhattan and be struggling with severe depression.
Oh my God, yeah.
You just never know their struggles, and I would have never expected this from somebody like her.
She left a short note to her daughter yesterday that basically said her daughter is 13 years old, and it said, this is not your fault. And she told the teenager to, quote, ask daddy about it. Sources are also saying that Andy Spade, now Kate Spade was married to Andy Spade, who is David Spade, the famous comedian's brother. So Andy and David are brothers. That would make Kate Spade essentially David Spade's sister-in-law. So she leaves that note. According to sources, including her sister, they say that the couple were, that Andy wanted a divorce. They also say that she's been dealing with bipolar and depression for many, many years, and it's gone untreated. Her sister told a news outlet that she many times would was almost at treatment, but then at the last minute would cancel. They say after years of back and forth, that's why Andy wanted a divorce, and it was just too much for her. And this is what's shocking, because so many people are vocal about it, but I think it reminds you there is such a stigma still. Kate was very worried that it would affect her brand, that if she came out as bipolar and depressed, that ultimately it would change that image that she created of, you know, fun and everything was all good and glitz and glam and glitter and champagne.
But
so,
what I don't get is that I feel more people can relate to you if you have mental people will feel for you. And I feel like she could relate to more people on that level if she came out. I don't know why she was trying to hide anything.
I agree. I think unfortunately you're probably so in your disease. You're so in your depression, in your bipolar, you can't realize. Because, I mean, I was actually quite frankly blown away yesterday by the online reaction. I mean, people, she was beloved. You know, an amazing designer. And even though we don't think, I mean, I still think a lot of her stuff is at a fairly high price point for the average person, but compared to high-end designers, she was very affordable and very functional. And when she started in the 90s, that was just something that wasn't happening, kind of in middle to high-end fashion. So, I mean, I think you're so in it, you don't realize how much people love you. And I saw this yesterday. I thought, you know, many people posted the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. I want to do it here because it's very important. You know, if you are at that space, you know, things do get better. But I'm with AJ. I know many people, many women and men who really, really struggle with it and are afraid to reach out. So it's 800-273-8255. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Line anytime that you need it. Oh my God, the wine bottle just like literally like imploded itself. It's like an exorcism in here already. Like it popped off.
I just saw that. Yeah. Did anybody hear that? You probably could hear it on the mic.
Yes, you could hear it on the mic.
That was crazy.
I know, bizarre.
Sarah, can you say the number one more time? We'll put it on the screen.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put the number on the screen. It's 800-273-8255. Life is a lot for everyone, but it's very easy to get depressed and it's easy to get into that space. And bipolar is something that so many people are dealing with. We're hearing it all the time. So you're not alone, and reach out and get the help, because it's devastating. As someone who lost a parent when I was around that age, you know, it stays with you forever and ever. So very, very tough for her daughter. We have to thank a couple of sponsors, including our friends at Mervis Diamond. I'm obsessed. I need a big diamond ring. Okay, how about that? From, mental health to superficial. That's really what we do. MervisDiamond.com. They're having an event this Saturday, June 9th and Sunday, June 10th. You can grab your significant other, and it's time to go ring shopping. Yes, it is. They have exclusive collections from Tacori, and you can enjoy special event pricing. They've got a great sale going on. It's a Tacori pop-up shop. They're going to be having it at their locations in Rockville, in Tyson's Corner, and in K Street. Everything starts around noontime this weekend. I'm actually going to be out as well. I believe I'll probably be at their Tyson's or K Street location, so I'll keep you posted. Saturday, it's going to start actually at 9 a.m., 9 to 5. Then Sunday, it will be from 12 to 5, but their DC store is in fact closed. So we love them. Definitely go check them out. And then Well Ray is a great event. AJ and I were there yesterday. In Delray, which is like the most adorable. You'd never been to Delray, right, Age?
Never been to Delray. So cute.
Isn't it amazing?
They know the butcher. It's like a local small town. I feel like I'm in middle America. I love it.
I know. It is. And like you're literally like 10 minutes from the heart of downtown DC. So we've partnered with Well Ray Delray. Hey Frage show and podcast is going to be out there June 23rd. They are doing so many free Pilates, yoga, cycle classes. So Well Ray Delray, you'll be able to go to my page, which is facebook.com, Sarah Frazier. Boop, hit the pages, and then you can see we're going to be there, and there's more details. It's going to be happening all day long on June 23rd. Super family friendly, super pet friendly. Bring your pet. You guys know I love dogs. Okay, that's a bunch of bullshit. No, I'm just kidding.
You don't love. Yeah, I don't think Sarah runs away when a dog tries to pet her.
I do. You know, I went over to a girlfriend's house recently, and she has this big, like, boxer, like, pit bull mix, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, why don't you just, like, come pet him or whatever? I'm like, no. I was chased by a dog when I was, like, 10 years old. It nearly, like, bit my leg off. And I'm afraid of dogs ever since. I don't want to come to your house. And everybody with, like, a menacing, massive dog always says, oh, it's so friendly. It's so friendly. Yeah, right. They're, like, looking into your eyes. They're drooling to eat your calves. People are like, just get in his face. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? I'm not getting in your massive boxer Tommy's face or whatever it is. No.
Oh my God.
All right, so look, the moral of that is come to Wellright Delray.
The point of that is...
Sorry, I got off on a tangent of how I hate animals. I really don't. I hate, you know what I don't like? I love animals and I hate animal cruelty, and I love that you love your pets. I just don't want your pet in my face or on my sofa. How about that?
Just don't bring your dog near me.
So look, we have to rally around our girlfriend, AJ, who's the producer of this show. She's amazing, but she's heading to the West Coast for the first time tomorrow. I feel like this is my daughter going off. Like, I love you so much.
I love you, Sarah.
You are heading to the West Coast. You're going to where? San Diego, and then you're renting a car?
San Diego, and then renting a car with my one of my best friends. And yeah, we're going to drive to LA together. I don't know how we're going to get there, but...
But you're looking for recommendations, right? Like, you
yes.
want to know places to go in San Diego.
Yeah, so I looked up, and the only thing that popped up was the San Diego Zoo. So there's got to be other stuff besides the zoo to do.
All right, look, podcast, West Coast podcast fans, we have many. Tweet, AJ, what is your Instagram? What's your Instagram where people can follow you and then DM you?
Yeah, DM me. It's the Andrea J. Lopez. Super easy. Yeah, just message me all, like, restaurants. I like to eat. I like to drink.
And then you're going up to L.A. Oh, my God.
Yeah, L.A. I'm visiting Irene. Remember old intern Irene? I'm going to go see her.
How could we forget her? She's amazing. And now she bakes cookies where it says something like eat ass or whatever on the cupcakes. Like, she always, like, they have all these, like, crazy slogans. What's Irene's Instagram? People need to follow her. She's always like, stop sucking my dick. And it's on, like, a sugar cookie or something.
She's like, we need to break up.
Right, right. We need to break up. You're a slut. I'm a slut. Okay. I love them all. I, like, super like everything. So I'm like, you know what? I need to send these cookies to myself. These are the kind of type of cookies that I'd eat.
These are fabulous.
You
yeah,
bitch.
Let me check.
Like, that's always, I'm like, okay. Yes, I'm like, I can relate.
Oh, yeah. So it's Irene's Oven.
Irene's Oven. Okay.
Follow her at Irene's Oven. Right, yeah.
Irene's
and Shannon,
oven.
Shannon keeps me real. She's like a second mom to me. She says, no dick pics. Don't DM me dick pics.
Oh, from our, okay, you can DM those to at Hey Frage. I love penis. I do. I love it. People used to send me them all the time because I've always dated very conservative men, not in their politics, but in their bedroom antics. I've never dated a guy that has ever wanted to make a sex tape with me. I mean, I'm down. The older I get, I want to show it all. Right? I want to document every part of my life for my kids. Okay? Kids, here it is. All right? Here was your mom doing it. Like, here's my moves. Wish you the best. Like, I would document it all. None of these men that I'm ever with want anything to do with that. So I love when people, you can DM me, slide right in, and slide off your pants. Because I'll look at it. I want to see what people are carrying.
Sarah's the type of mom to let her son not be circumcised because sex is better when they're not circumcised.
Oh, okay. You know what? I think I'll wait till the kid's older so they can make a choice.
Oh, my God.
Look, but you were also saying that you're very, are you, like, anxious? You're kind of anxious about this trip, right, AJ? Like, you said you're a bad traveler.
Yeah, I love getting on planes. Like, I don't have fear of that, but I'm always late. So the time of, a plane takeoff scares the hell out of me because I'm, like, I calculated in my head. I'm also not very good at math. So I'm like, okay, my flight is at this time, and then I have to be there at this time. Like, it stresses me out. And I'm not one to get to places, like, way super early. So I'm the one running to the plane, and they're like, last call. And then I run into the thing, and they're like, not. And then I miss the flight.
How is this difficult? So if the flight takes off at, let's say, like, your flight is taking off tomorrow at 2 o'clock, right?
Got it.
At 2 o'clock.
Right.
So for you, when does the anxiety creep up? Like, don't you just say to yourself, I'll just be there at noon, like,
right.
2 hours before?
Yeah. So it's super easy if it's DCA, but this time it's BWI. So guys, if you didn't know, it's a farther airport away, and I'm not going to drive there. They don't have a metro that goes there. So I don't want to spend $50 on an Uber. So that stresses me out getting to the airport.
Well, I don't blame you. BWI is like six states away. Why are you flying out of BWI? I mean,
it was the cheapest ticket.
Why don't you live in Peace Street? You
know? Oh, no, like, I know. Right. Yeah.
And now you're... Well, you got to leave tonight.
That's
like,
what I'm
you don't
saying.
Know what the traffic will be.
That's why it's so stressful, because I'm like, shit, how am I going to get there?
What time is your flight tomorrow?
What if somebody shows up to the airport and just is ambushes? So, okay, it's at 4:50. Nobody knows the gate, so they'll not ambush me. Yeah, it's at 4:50.
4:53, 52:50. I would say for you, you need to aim to be there at 1:30. I mean, that's really early, but I would say, like, for you, and I think it's going to take you an hour and a half to get there. What are you doing? Ubering,
right.
Lyft? What are you girls going
to
do?
I was going to go to Union Station, and then there's a train from Union Station that goes right to BWI for, like, a couple bucks. And my mom was like, okay, so you probably should leave around around 8 a.m. I'm like, what the hell?
8 a.m. Okay. Okay. I was like,
Mom, you're crazy.
It's only Baltimore. Right. I mean, everybody listening to this podcast commutes from Baltimore to 8 a.m.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, I think that's really early. I'm going to be sitting at the airport.
If you get there at 8 a.m., you're going to have literally breakfast, lunch, and dinner at there before you get on the plane.
Chilling at BWI. Oh, my God. The flight attendants.
I admire you. I'm so excited for you. And it's great to be young, right? They're going on, what are you doing, a red eye? That's terrific.
Yeah.
I don't even do that. There's no fucking way I would fly at night.
So I'm getting to California at around 8 p.m. My friends are going to pick me up, and then I'm leaving. I'm doing a red eye back to D.C. So the end of the trip is going to suck because nobody ever wants to come back after vacation.
I know. You're not going to want to. You don't want to come back to this job. How would you just trash your job live on your job? What?
Well, see, I'm coming back on a Thursday, so I have to wait like 4 days to come back to work, and that's the problem I'm having.
You were like literally at your job. You just said to thousands of people, you know what sucks is that you got to come back to like this.
You know what? I actually do love my job. I really do.
Oh my God. You
crack me up. So,
yeah. All right, let's get Ronica Cleary in here. You guys are awesome right now on Facebook. We're always live on Facebook. We're actually thinking about moving it to an earlier time because more people can watch. So we may move the times. But right now, right around 12:30 Eastern Standard Time, Monday and Wednesdays, we are always live on Facebook. That is 9:30 a.m. for our West Coast fans. But anyway, Janine Fraser's on. She says TSA is on fleek these days with security. Kayla Lee. My husband and I did San Francisco and San Diego. It's a blast, AJ. You're going to love it. And then Charles Stowers says that he is my man to send me a dick pic. Well, send it on in at Hey Frage. I'll rate it. And you know what? Look, here's the thing. You better tell me. I tell this to everybody in my life, okay? If you don't want me to share it on the air, you better tell me because I will share everything. I don't know. Is it what happens? You get shut down on Facebook if you share nude photos? Ronica, you're like a legit journalist.
I think that would probably be best not to do that. Or maybe start.
I am so excited you're here because you and I have been friends for a couple years.
That's true.
We met at Fox 5. Mm-hmm. You're an incredible political reporter.
Thank you.
I love you. I'm so excited for the next steps in your career.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
We're not giving details, but you've left Fox 5. You have a new gig.
Yes, I'm going to be working for a campaign. So I'm very excited. I love politics. I think this will be a very cool way to understand more of the scene by being on the other side and work for someone I really believe in and I'm really excited about. But the details are coming soon. If you're listeners, I don't know how politically interested they are. Because I don't think you talk about that much here. But if they are, you know, it'll come soon and I'll share that. I can't wait.
Well, actually, they are if it's liberal. But like, we have no conservative listeners at all.
That's okay. I love people from as long as you're passionate about something, that's what's most important to me.
Oh,
I really feel that way.
Oh, that's so good. So, oh my God, you're so middle ground. I love it.
Well, you know, sometimes, not always.
Okay, more on that later.
Right.
Look, so you wanted to come. You actually wrote an article yesterday for The Hill, thehill.com, in regards to Miss America has made a change to their pageant policy. So tell us, and this kind of was driven, it seems like, from Gretchen Carlson.
I think so.
So
and probably from bad ratings and the fact that the pageant has changed and it's not doing so well. Anyway, I think that if you follow it at all, that's one of the things we'll talk about. Doesn't even matter. Do people even care? They've had an identity crisis for years trying to make it relevant. What can we do to make people want to watch a pageant,
right?
Because most people don't care about it. And so they made this announcement yesterday that they were taking out the swimsuit competition completely and that wearing a gown is optional and that it was no longer going to be called a pageant, but a program? I don't even know.
A competition. I guess they're calling it competition.
Competition. And I laughed at first. I thought, you know, Miss America has been trying to get people to call it a scholarship program for years, so to now announce it's not a pageant anymore, I mean, that's not news at all.
Right.
But and no one listened to that because it was a pageant at the end of the day. I mean, I think that fell flat, that request fell flat because it was inauthentic.
Right.
You do have girls in bathing suits and wearing beautiful things, and then you say, well, this is about scholarship. Well, I think of it more, it's a pageant that gave away scholarship money, not a, you know, a scholarship program. But then getting rid of the swimsuits and taking away the evening gowns, I think it was a misguided last-ditch effort to save something to try to make something accepted by people who don't really understand it and probably didn't accept it before and won't accept it now.
Right,
and instead you're
way.
Like isolating the people who loved it and care about it. And is this what's going on Facebook right now?
Yeah, so we're going to put, no, tell us.
What
we're
is
gonna
this?
Put up,
what is
we're going to put up, because you actually competed in what?
Right.
What did you compete in?
I competed a lot. I competed for years, but my most, you know, glorious moment was... was winning Miss Philadelphia. So that was that's what I, you know, I'm very proud of that. I won a lot of money. That's the thing. I mean,
you did, really?
The whole scholarship thing is real, but I didn't, you know, write an application to win an academic scholarship. You know, that's why I always felt like it was a little inauthentic to say it was about scholarships. I mean, it was a pageant, and you have to be smart and hardworking and care about your future and your career, and then you get a scholarship at the end that you can't spend at the mall. You have to spend it on your education.
Okay, in the article that you wrote for The Hill, though, you kind of talk that a lot of people think of pageants like Miss Congeniality, which starred Sandra Bullock, which kind of made it pretty dumb. Like, the women get up there, they don't really say smart things. Is that...
April 4th, my favorite date. Isn't that her April 20th? What's her favorite date? They say, what's your ideal date?
Yeah, yeah.
And she says, it's April 20th. You can wear a light jacket, and it's a beautiful day. Not too hot, not too cold.
Yes, okay.
I actually, you know, it's so funny. I didn't actually think of that part of it with the girls not always seeming that smart, I guess, in the film. I think the film is a fantastic portrayal and probably cult favorite within the pageant community because it's kind of feels, it rings true.
Really?
Right? And frankly, this whole like transformation that Sandra Bullock goes through where she mocks it and rolls her eyes at it and thinks it's really stupid. And then she is a part of it and she sees that these are a lot of really good people that have this quirky thing they love to do
right.
that so many people don't understand and that it's not a bad place. So that to me is what rings true, that transformation that she goes through and the idea that I don't know if all the girls are that smart, but I don't think that matters. I mean, we're not sitting in the back, you know, comparing physics notes. I mean, that's not the point of it, right?
The point
of it
is what? The point is about beauty, brains,
and talent, I guess.
Talent.
You know, that's the thing. And Miss America. Miss America and Miss USA are different. People don't know that. But I fear that no one, does anybody care who's listening to this right now? I don't think people really care. I think that's why it's
not
relevant. I hope I'm not ruining the podcast forever.
Right now we have your bikini picture up. You can't see it.
Good.
But, oh my God, Ronica, you are so hot.
That was a long time
ago. Oh my God. No, put that picture back up.
That was a long time ago.
Your body is smoking. Like, what were you doing there? My God, you're like, I have such a lesbian like crush on you right now. Like, that body is like amazing.
I figured I'd release it in my frustration with the decision. Because frankly, if you didn't want to wear a bathing suit, you didn't compete in the pageant. And I was telling you girls this, that I really believe this. It was not, I have competed in pageants at many different sizes. My weight always fluctuated. And I think that it was a misguided notion to suggest, number one, that like only, I mean, of course I picked the picture to share with you guys that
right.
I looked my best in. I didn't always look like that in every pageant I ever competed in.
Did you win that one, by the way, that you were in? Because
no.
You should have totally won. Mm-mm. You didn't?
No.
Oh my God. That's need to bring up that.
Like, those girls, those like, girls look good. Let me tell
do.
You. They look good in it.
Hey, I mean, I was having this discussion yesterday and you know, what drives me nuts right now about where we're at, whether it's Weight Watchers, Boy Scouts, like I was saying
right.
this to you about Weight Watchers.
Yes.
I would follow Oprah to like into any fire. I'm obsessed with her. The only thing I've ever disagreed with her on is her purchasing Weight Watchers. And now what they're trying to do with Weight Watchers, which the whole name says it, Weight Watchers. You're
right.
Always watching your weight. Now they're trying to morph it into this more mindful eating where they're going to talk to high school girls. All that's wonderful. But then you're no longer Weight Watchers.
You're no longer focused on necessarily weight loss.
Points.
Right.
Because that's counterintuitive to everything that mindful eating is. Same with Boy Scouts of America. Boy Scouts of America now accepts women or girls. Great. But you're no longer Boy Scouts.
Well, that's what the point of my piece yesterday was, too, with pageants. I don't know if you guys know. To me, if people want to be angry about pageants and they want to say that they are unfair to women, they should be angry about the things that the women have to agree to participate.
Like
not
what?
Signing up to wear a bathing suit. The fact that, well, I don't know if this makes you angry, but you have to say that you are a woman. You have to say that you are a citizen. You have to say that you've never been pregnant and never had children.
What?
You have to say that you're never married, never divorced, not even an annulment. These are the things, if you want to say like pageantry is stuck in the past and totally outdated and ridiculous,
what?
Say that, right? Those are, but those are the things that don't make the headlines that these girls happily agree to, happily say that they will sign up for. And people are mad about the bathing suit, which frankly, most of the girls feel really empowered and excited
yes.
about and say, I'm going to wear a bikini because I don't know when I'm going to look like that in a bikini again now that I've had two kids, right? And I love it. You know, it was a great time. So for me, some that you have to sign something that says, I have never been, you know, like morally inappropriate, which is this like
what?
Vague, wild
no,
term.
I'm out.
Those are the things that to me are outdated, ridiculous,
definitely.
You know, offensive to women, not wearing an evening gown, right? Or wearing a bathing suit and caring about my health and fitness, right? So I just think that
good
was the
you.
Whole
That's
point of the piece is like, you're Gretchen Carlson to me is missing the point about what is outdated, offensive, and just wrong about
yes.
the pageant, right?
Oh my God,
so
I didn't
that
realize
is
that.
What was really, that's what made me mad.
Why
and
do you think they're not addressing those things?
Because nobody knows about them except for the girls inside the pageant because they don't make the headlines. And the girls feel like we have to go along with it because we want to compete. We want to be a part of this. It's fun. It's glamorous. It's exciting. And so they put up with this crap. But frankly, what's going to happen now is now that there's no talent, or there is talent, excuse me, now that there's no swimsuit, now that there's no evening gown, there will be a man that says, I want to be in this pageant.
Let the men compete.
Right. You have to be a citizen. There will be someone who is not a citizen who says, I want to be Miss America. Why can't they? And so my point is that you have destroyed this. Just like you say, you've destroyed Weight Watchers. It is no longer what it was. So just change the name. Call it something else. Are you still going to put a crown on the girl that wins? If she didn't wear a swimsuit, didn't wear a gown, it's not supposed to be about beauty. All we care about is talent and interview. Why are you giving her a crown then? It's stupid.
Oh my God, where's our applause track? You're on a roll. I
Thank
love
you.
Everything you're saying. Woo! Oh so, my God!
Yeah, no one cares Preach. About the detail. Thank you. No one cares about Preach. The details of what makes them different. It's like they missed the point.
People are asking you questions, by the way. We're always live on Facebook.
Yes.
It's just Sarah Fraser. And if you have questions for Ronica Cleary, she is here. She was a longtime Fox 5. Well,
not a long time.
Okay.
2.5 years. But
right, 2.5 years.
Two and a half years.
Long time. She was a political reporter for Channel 5. That's how I've known her. We've been dear friends ever since. She's going to work on a political campaign, but she also competed in beauty pageants.
Yes.
So you can leave her a question right now. Caitlin says, what? Why can't contestants be mothers? Question mark.
Exactly. That
so
is what
why
should
did
make
they tell you,
you mad. Okay, so it's so funny. I mean, I never asked an official. This is not speaking on behalf of the organization, but when people would talk about it, the whole thing was like, oh, well, if you win Miss America, you're on the road so much. It's so much time. How could you have time to be a mother too, right?
Oh my God.
These are the things that should be offensive to a feminist, to a woman who cares about Me Too, who cares about, you know, being a powerful woman. Not wearing a bathing suit. Like, give me a break. Like, you missed the point. So that's why I was so mad yesterday, because there are things about pageantry that are offensive, outdated, and irrelevant. Wearing a bathing suit or wearing an evening gown and feeling beautiful and walking on stage and saying, this is what I look like and I feel great about it, that is not offensive.
Oh my God, I cannot believe that those things have flown under the radar. And I'm with you.
Totally under the radar. And you have to be between 18 and 24. Well, why can't I be 25? What's the difference? If I look great and I feel great, why isn't Miss America any? I mean, all of these things are what's
archaic.
Wrong with it. And these are the things that I think have hurt the system. And then you go focus on the thing that so many women love, the most fun part, the thing that you challenge yourself the most to do. So
that's
me on my high horse. So,
oh my God, you're great. You guys can leave questions for Ronica.
Please.
People are loving this, by the way. You're
good.
So right, according to Bernie Fields, he says.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Caitlin's like, can't believe that they have that clause that contestants can't be mothers. That's insane.
Or pregnant.
Right. Oh my God. I know. I'm surprised they haven't been
so
sued.
So here's something I noticed. Now I Googled, because I mean, I haven't signed a contract to compete for a really long time. I mean, I'm too old to be Miss America, I guess. Rude.
Yeah.
And so, but
I agree. You look great.
I did look up a contract to see what it was saying now. And something that used to be in them, at least that I recall, that I didn't see in this one, they used to say that you can never have been pregnant. right? Suggesting all, I mean,
suggesting essentially if you've had an abortion right. or anything like
I
that,
mean,
you're
things
out.
Things that are really that no one knows about, no one talks about. And so I don't want to beat a dead horse. I know we want to talk about all sorts of things, but if you care about women, if you care about feminism, if you care about empowerment, don't tell me I can't wear a bikini.
I agree.
You know, like, ridiculous. That's...
I agree. Oh, my God. I could just, you are on. Oh, my God. Preach.
Thank you.
We love Ronica Cleary. Okay, Thank where you. Can people follow you, by the way?
At Ronica Cleary. Very easy. And it's not Veronica. Ronica. R-O-N-I-C-I.
On Twitter.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All the same. All the same profile pic, very easy.
Okay, well, we have some fun stories that we want you to weigh in on since you're here. So millennials are in no rush to the altar. Ronica is a millennial.
Yes, I am.
You are.
So exciting.
I know. Such a hot one.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, Sarah.
Yeah?
Quick question.
Yes.
Paul just wants to say hi.
Paul is on the phone?
Paul is on the phone.
What? Get him on the phone. Yes. Right. Yes.
Let's mic him up.
Paul Wharton is on the phone. Paul?
Hey.
Hun, we're so glad you're on because the rumors are flying.
What are the rumors, honey?
The rumors are that you didn't really have dental surgery. We fear that you may have had lipo and you're hiding from us.
You know what? You ain't shit. And what did you say when the rumors started flying? Ronica.
Well, I fed them.
I didn't say anything. You are free to do whatever you want.
Paul, you did not get lipo, right? Tell us you didn't.
I am man. Hear me roar.
Does lipo put you out of commission? He could do it. Yeah.
No. I didn't. No, but I am. I am refreshing myself in preparation for the Capitol Emmys on the 23rd.
We knew it.
How does one refresh oneself?
You know, you just refresh yourself. You know, you get your skin awfully clear. You get your teeth awfully white. You get your hair extra shiny.
And you don't go to work on the Hey Phrase podcast.
Why would I do that?
Paul, hey, we miss you. Oh, my God.
Today is all about women's empowerment, so I figured I'd let y'all have it.
Love Paul, you. I feel empowered.
Would you? We're just talking all about the pageant. I don't know if you heard that, but would you ever, do you feel like men should be able to run for Miss America, or do you think keep it all women?
Well, I think that the whole idea of it is a little bit antiquated to me. Like, I was just wondering, first of all, how did Donald Trump get involved with Miss Universe?
Well, he bought it.
Okay,
yeah, Miss USA is different from Miss America. Miss USA is a for-profit entity. And Miss America, like, it's just totally different scene. I don't think you can buy Miss America. I really don't know the answer to that. Okay. But I think bought Miss USA and Miss Universe.
Right. Okay.
And
then,
you know, I mean, I think that the pageant started in an era where, you know, women were defined by their beauty. And I just feel like, I mean, is it still valid? I know there's an opportunity for the winners to go on and, yeah.
Paul, I hear you, but here's my question. Do you think it's suddenly more relevant now that they changed it? I mean, I think that they are trying to make people like it who don't understand it and won't understand it. Like, I feel like we should just be who we are, embrace pageantry, love it for what it is and hate it for what it is too. You know, however you feel about it, but I just think that the decision sort of isolates all the women who loved it, and then the people who don't like it or get it are still not going to like it.
I'm just wondering if it's a powerful tool to still say to young girls that, you know, you can come up on stage whether you're wearing a bathing suit or not, but it's still really a lot to do with aesthetics. Ronica, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I worked in the modeling industry for a very long time. I did the casting for Top Model for 16 cycles. I did that show Made on MTV and VH1's The Agency. Anyway, I worked with models for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have these people that have chased this dream of becoming a model forever, and it never really works out for them. And so that led me to the point, which is, why is it so important for people to say to you, yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you're enough. Your look is, you know, substantial enough for you to get paid because of the way you look. Like,
that's the world we live in, though. You're not going to change that by taking swimsuit out of Miss America. People are not going to suddenly stop caring about that.
You can change people's perspective when you let them know that there's other things that they could be good at that have nothing to do with their aesthetic, nothing to do with their look.
Right, but then don't compete in Miss America.
Right.
I think that's my point. It's like, go do something. There's a million things that you could do. Women do everything today. So why do you have to ruin it for the small little group of women who want to do this? I guess that's what I just don't. No one knows who Miss America is. No one cares who Miss America is.
Couldn't name her.
So what's the, you wouldn't pick her out of a group.
I
could see two people and you wouldn't know which one was Miss America.
No.
So I guess it's like, why ruin it?
Well, I don't know if you're ruining it, but I just feel like, why don't you make the parameters for the sizes and the way these women look a bit more diverse? Because
well,
I definitely don't see that.
I think that's a self-selecting thing, because you can do what, there's no rules on size or anything. I mean, that doesn't,
really?
That doesn't exist. And there's
wait,
there's no scoring for your facial beauty. That doesn't exist. Like,
really?
In the books, on paper, there's not. But I'm
well, sure I've judged a lot of Miss America state pageants. I've judged them. We don't, I mean, there is literally no score for face. Like when we watch them in swimsuit, I don't care. It's not about face. It's like how fit you are. So, and I think you can be fit at every size. And I was telling the girls that I have competed in pageants at many sizes and done pretty well. So I feel, I hear you, all that you're saying, Paul. I totally do. I just think that I just think there should be room for women who want to embrace those qualities and care about them. And now you're kind of shutting them out and saying you're not allowed to care about that. When there's a million places for women who don't want to, I mean,
hey,
for people who don't care about it.
Come to my website, rockyourbutt, heyfrage.com. Check out my body. It's very white and there's lots of roles. I don't care.
You know, just to finish this up, I don't know if there are a million that are as public and put on that kind of platform. And I think that because I've judged them as well, I've judged the local competitions that get the women to the Miss USA pageant.
Well, Miss USA is different. I mean, the rumor is that the interview portion, that you're close to the judges so they could see your face. I mean, Miss USA is openly different. They want you to be beautiful. Miss America just, I don't think it's about that. I think Miss USA kind of makes no bones about it.
And like,
Paul,
you to be hot.
If you've been around the scene, like, you know the expression, Miss America's the girl that lives next door, Miss USA is the girl you wish lived next door.
Oh, really?
Right?
I never heard that.
I'm not a pageant guy, so no.
Well, I just meant if you were even sort of connected to it. But yeah. I hear you, Paul. I do. I totally hear you. And you sound very refreshed.
You say...
I'm impossibly refreshed, people.
I need to refresh myself.
You live the life, Paul. We love you. You're going to win that damn Emmy. You ought to after all this.
Yes.
I mean, I know.
Okay.
Take that Emmy on the road.
When I was going to say, when you win the Emmy, like you need to, can you bring it in so like every time you're here, it's just like
pressure.
With you?
So that next Wednesday, if I don't win it, then what's that going to be like?
Well, we've got a cactus that's in gold, and that's close enough.
I love you, Paul.
Thank you for calling in. Seriously, we miss you, so we can't wait to see you next week. And
I'll see you next week.
You got it, hon. We'll talk to you then. And Paul.
Bye,
Paul. Love talking to you, by the way.
I love
everything you had to say. Really.
I know. Paul's...
I see you in the parking lot. That's the only place I see Ronica Cleary.
Well, you won't see me anymore.
She's
I'm
left
done.
Fox 5.
I left.
Heard.
Yes.
I heard.
I'll have to see you somewhere else.
I will see you somewhere else.
You'll see her on the campaign trails, and then she'll be out there and, like, I don't know, taking on. You'll be like the next Sarah Sanders, too, I think.
I would be open to being a press secretary one day. I think it sounds like a cool job, but it's also a terrifying job. Now that I've covered that room, woof.
Rough. Ooh,
yeah.
It's rough. Yeah, it's brutal out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's a tough room, but we'll see.
All right, Paul, love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you guys enjoy. Bye.
Bye. People are loving this, by the way. Jay Eastwood says, thank you, Ronica, 100. Lynn says that picture of Paul is amazing. And Josh Danzig says that Ronica owes him $20.
Oh, Josh. Oh, what was our old joke, Josh? Oh, my gosh. I can't remember.
You have fans, Ronica.
Yes. Hi, Josh.
Anyhow, we'll definitely put that picture up of Paul again because I love that, too. So I wanted to get back to this story because millennials are waiting longer than ever to actually make it to the altar, to actually get married.
Okay.
You and your husband have been married for how long?
Today is my anniversary.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my
and
God.
This
happy
is,
anniversary.
This is horrible. Facebook memories reminded me. So
well, you know.
We've been married for 8 years. I was 26 when I got married.
You were a baby.
I was young and I thought I was old. Like I thought I waited a while. And so now I think to myself, wow.
Well, how long do you think the average millennial couple now is dating before they actually say I do?
Okay. I dated my husband for 6 years. Is that still the same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
25 to 34-year-olds say on average they're waiting 6.5 years before they say I do, according to a New York Times report. The reason for their extended relationship, they want to first establish their careers, figure out their finances, and travel before settling down were all the things. And they want to make sure they have a very healthy, strong friendship with their partner before they then have marriage.
I love that. I did travel before I got married, and then we traveled when we were married and before we had kids, which I do think is really important. But I will say this, and you know, I heard it so much, my mother said it, when you get married, everything changes. It is different.
Does it? Oh,
it
my God.
It is different.
Don't
and
even
so
tell me.
You can wait as long as you want and think you know what you're signing up for. But once there is that, once it becomes a legally binding relationship,
what
that
changes?
Is a lot harder to get away from. Well,
because we talk about this all the time. I'm madly in love with Dan. One minute, the next minute, I'm like kicking him out, moving out, and then I'm online frantically searching on Plenty of Fish.
Oh my God, does he? I guess he knows this. Does he listen to your podcast?
No, he actually. Our relationship has been so good. He stopped listening.
I think that's a good thing.
He took everything I said literally. I said, like he gets really upset because he's vegan now, so he's lost a ton of weight. And to me,
and you're partially vegan.
I'm partially vegan, but like I'm craving chicken wings right now. Right, I'm like,
it's
oh my God.
It's a good thing to crave, I understand.
I'm leaving here, I'm having these amazing boneless chicken wings at Courthouse Social in Arlington. They have the best. They're free range.
That sounds very good.
And they're so good.
I'm sure that makes the chicken feel better. I got to run around first.
But he's so tiny, so I always joke on here, he's very emaciated, you know, and it's weird, because now I'm like larger than him, so I throw him around in the bedroom, and he gets very upset, because he's like, that's not true. If I had
sounds
to, I
could. Sounds better for him. He should like it.
Thank you. He gets everything so offensive. He goes,
well, it's got to be hard to date somebody that's putting their personal life out there, right?
Oh, my God. And I would
put like
so
that,
much more.
That's hard. I feel for him.
Oh, my family has completely all turned their backs on me. They're like, they will not tell me anything. They don't want any of their, my brother doesn't want anything about his life. He calls me sometimes. He's like, you make me sound like a broke person. I was like, well, it's just a joke. I mean,
I know. People
he's like,
take
don't
you seriously.
Talk about me ever
People
again.
Take you too seriously when you're on social media as a figure. I definitely,
yes.
your poor brother, because people will, you'll just say a joke. Or you'll be sarcastic or something, and people will just take it completely seriously, and it could hurt people.
Right. So
your poor brother,
the only one that doesn't care.
Sat, you know.
Yeah. No. Right.
See, I'm like, I have to clarify. I've never met him. I'm sure he has tons of cash.
It's just flowing nonstop up there in Maine. The only one that doesn't care is my mom. She's like, say whatever you want
Good.
About me.
I love that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't care, but I get why people do. If you've never been in the spotlight, you know, the comments and stuff, they can hurt. But then once you're in there, you're like, whatever.
And now my mom's really into it. So she's like, whatever it takes to be an entertainer. I'm like, okay, mom. And like, she hooks rugs. So she's like, anytime you want my hooker friends on, we're on.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, what? Like, she's so into it. Anything for ratings. That's
Good
what she'll
for
tell
mom.
Me.
Mom. Yeah, she loves you. She gets
I know,
it.
She does. She gets
her
it. She's
and
the
her
only
hookers.
One. Her and her hookers. But my brother, my niece, and my man are like, we're done with you.
I see both sides. I do.
So I wanted to find out. Yeah. Okay. So you guys waited about that time.
Yeah. And marriage changes just because at the end of the day, I mean, it's a lot harder to leave. So, I mean, if you are conscious of that and you think about that, I think that some people might take advantage of that. I don't think that I have or that my husband has, but it is totally different. And then when you have kids, I mean, it just changes everything. And so, and also I think when you say like marriage changes everything, so first you're stuck together. It's a lot more complicated.
Oh yeah,
to,
you're really
to
in a contract,
it.
Yeah.
And then if you have a family, I mean, you also change, right? You change, you life is so much harder, there's so many more demands. And then what if you change into a person that your partner doesn't like? I mean, marriage is a lot. You could wait 6 years, you could wait 10 years, you could wait 20 years. You're still never gonna really know your partner until you're married. I do think it changes things.
Really?
But that doesn't mean it's bad. I just said this last night. Marrying my husband was the best decision I ever made in my life.
Oh my God, but you must be like fine. I mean, you're smoking hot. You must like hold that bikini picture up and you go, you know what? Whatever. Like if he leaves me, I've got this and I'm definitely going to like land someone else.
I don't know. And I don't look like that anymore.
Yeah, but you can always get
he's
back
like,
there.
Don't you forget it. No,
well,
I'm
we
just
were
kidding.
We were talking about fitness and Miss America, but this video has gone viral, which is hysterical, of a woman that is at a gym who loses it. This woman is like my hero. She does what everyone, hopefully this video will come up, Ronica, that you can see it.
Can I see it?
She's on a treadmill. She walks like for a little bit and then she goes nuts and she finds a barbell and starts smashing the treadmill.
Oh, she's pissed at the treadmill.
She's over it. I've wanted to do this at every gym. This woman is a living hero. So rapper Troy Joe happened to be working out. I don't know, his Toronto rapper. I'm sure he's excellent. I've never heard of you, Troy, but I'm sure your work is amazing. So the woman goes Hulk, basically, on this Liberty Village gym.
What is she mad at?
We're playing the video right now. Let's see if Ronica can.
Can I see it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so
I
here
can
you go,
imagine
Ronica. See it? She's like going crazy. She's like taking the dumbbell.
Treadmills are so expensive. I am sure she has to buy that treadmill.
She doesn't stop there.
That's the first thing I think of.
She continues to destroy the gym. She picks up a smaller dumbbell, throws it through a window. Finally, they had to essentially ask the woman to leave. She was later arrested after being very destructive there. I wanted to do that. If you spend 20 minutes on a treadmill, you want to do that.
I just stopped running. Years ago. I can't do it.
I don't either.
I'd say, why am I doing this? I hate this so much.
At the end, she finishes by grabbing a water bottle and a towel, walks out before she was thrown to the ground and later arrested.
She worked up a sweat.
Yes, exactly.
She checked off her, you know, calories burned.
Done.
I'm sure you burn more breaking things like that.
I know. Mark Livingstone, we're going to have Mark Livingstone on the show here in a second. He is an amazing sponsor of the Hey Frage podcast. He's also single. So I want to know because he's sponsoring our live show. And part of the deal was that I have to find him a date. Do you have any single girlfriends?
Maybe. I have to think about it.
Who do we know?
Let me meet Mark first. And then
okay, yeah, meet Mark. Mark, Ronica Cleary.
Hi,
Mark Livingstone.
How are you? It's nice to meet you.
Mark, you look so good.
Thank you.
Look at you. Mark is wearing like this blue check shirt, kind of, but very, very stylish.
Yeah.
White jeans.
Yes.
I love it. You look great. Get right on that microphone.
Okay.
Mark.
Headset.
Get the headset on. He just got back from Vegas.
That's right.
And were you at a divorce party, right, in Vegas?
It was a divorce party and birthday party, yes.
Oh,
yesterday was my birthday.
Was it your divorce party?
It was my divorce party, yes.
Good for you.
What do you think about the things I said about marriage?
I wasn't
Does everything
listening.
Change?
I'm going to have to download and listen to it and get back
How
to you.
How offensive, really.
I'm sorry.
Put me in a swimsuit. I'll be less offended.
But with the size, you're not divorced. Look at the size of that rock.
Oh, thank you. No,
I mean,
I'm
it looks like
divorced.
A doorknob. That thing is beautiful.
I'm very blessed.
Yes, yes.
We were just talking about who Ronica knows that we can hook you up with. Because I think part of the deal.
I think Mark is very handsome.
Isn't he?
Thank you,
and
Ronica.
I'll tell you this. My husband has the same haircut.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We go to the same barber, huh?
I don't know if women are into bald men, but once I fell in love with my husband, every bald man I see is just like
super attractive,
the hottest thing ever.
Yeah.
So
I love it. Thank you.
Maybe your ex-wife didn't feel that way.
Maybe.
Too soon. The party did not heal the wounds.
No.
Okay. All right, Mark, I got note taken.
Are you super hungover? Yeah. I mean, Vegas is like brutal.
Vegas was brutal. Yeah. Rehab at the Hard Rock. That was exciting. Have you ever been there?
No.
Is that a
sounds
nightclub?
Like a nightclub.
It's the pool party that goes from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then you go home and rest for a little bit. And
then you
go back
out again.
Yes.
So look, we're going to find you a date because June 17th is our next live podcast show. Danny Starr is going to be there. Paul Wharton, myself. It's almost close to sold out. I think we have 15 tickets left.
Okay.
But you sponsor this show because you are the mortgage guy in D.C., Maryland, Virginia. And then you're in Florida, West Virginia?
Colorado, Georgia, just...
Millennials are buying homes at the fastest rate of any
That's
generation.
Correct.
Ronica,
mm-hmm.
you're a homeowner, right?
Yes, technically.
You are a homeowner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how is it doing your mortgage?
I don't know.
Okay. What's your interest rate?
My husband did it.
Okay.
I hate to be...
Okay, well...
I hate that. Oh, that's so embarrassing. Oh, I don't know.
It's fine.
I have no idea. But
I mean, you can't handle it all. You're a superwoman.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're at the White House giving him hell.
I mean, you
can't worry about mortgage rates. But for those of us like myself who have to, tell us what the deal is. We need to come see you at Cornerstone First Financial. You guys are amazing. You've had lots of calls from Hey Frage people who are interested in buying condos. Because the deal is, if I'm paying $1,500 to $2,000 a month.
Right. That translates to, if you're paying $2,000 a month in rent, that translates to $2,450 in a mortgage payment once you take into consideration the tax implications.
Mm-hmm.
So millennials are the fastest rising population of homeowners, and too many of them don't know what they're doing. So Cornerstone, my company, is on a mission to educate these millennials to help them get into homes and help them understand what it takes to own a house. And it's one of the most exciting things you can do is take somebody that didn't understand how to buy a house and get them into the house and then go to the housewarming party and meet all their friends and then turn them into homeowners. So it's an exciting time.
It really is. And seriously, in this area, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, I mean, your opportunity to own a house, do some fixer-upper stuff, and then flip, sell, or keep. I mean, the appreciation is unbelievable.
That's right. And if you are a homeowner, you're 10 times more likely to become a millionaire than if you're not a homeowner.
Really?
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Oh, my God. Love
that stat.
I was so depressed. You know, Dan and I are in the market for our first condo, and I was over in Delray yesterday with AJ, our producer, and they had Delray Place. We desperately wanted to live there. Of course, we were, like, outbid. It was depressing. Oh. Like, everything sells so quickly. It was amazing.
Right now, there are so many wars going on for homes because so many contracts are being put down because the inventory is just so tight, especially in this area.
Yes.
So homes are being appreciated. They're being escalated because there are so many offers being put down on so many different houses.
Mm. It's stressful. But you guys really help do all the finances. I'm working with Joanna, who's terrific. Mm-hmm. You have a phone call with her. She gets all of your info, you know, your income, what your assets are. You guys are super great. You're very confidential. You take that information and then you kind of find like a good price point that you're comfortable at. So where can people apply?
Cornerstonefirst.com.
Okay.
That's the website.
Okay.
Or just call us at 202-625-1221.
Perfect. And where do you like to buy, like in this area?
Well, I live downtown in City Center.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah, so okay. Love right. it down there.
Wow. If you call right now, you could be on a date with you and potentially living there. I like this.
I don't know about living there, but... Unless you're getting your own mortgage.
Yeah. Oh, we're not moving in yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, wow.
The divorce party was just 3 days ago. Yeah, so
wait.
It's kind of fresh.
Could have given it a minute?
Yes. Give it a minute.
All right.
You have to take 6 years if you marry one of these millennials.
Why?
That's the average.
You weren't listening, Mark.
No.
Yeah, you
got to
download this.
I thought it's just four seasons.
No, the average millennials now are staying together for 6.5 years before they walk down the aisle.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you wait 6.5 years to say I do again?
I don't know. I don't even know if I would get married again.
Oh,
I
know.
It was almost like a prison sentence.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
So much.
And I think she listens to your podcast.
Really?
I'm sorry. It really wasn't.
Oh, my God.
So.
Why are you
tough.
Saying sorry now? You still want to be nice?
Yeah, I still want to be nice. Mm. I'm a nice guy.
That's nice.
Yeah, even
I
after
learned
all
it.
That.
I've learned that from a lot of men that I see. I talk so much shit, but I've really dated so many sophisticated men, and they never talk shit about their exes or other people. And I admire that. And
I
wish
do
I could strive to that, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Cornerstone First Financial. You can also go to HeyFrage.com. The best part is when you say Hey Frage to Mark, to Joanna, whoever you get, $450 is waived.
That's right.
Of
for the
any
appraisal
application fees. So you're great. We're going to see you on the 17th.
I look forward
we
to it.
We can't wait to have you on stage. I feel like you're going to find your next wife, P.S., from this podcast. I guarantee it.
From the podcast at the comedy?
At
the
DC
Improv?
Mm-hmm.
Really? You think she'll be there?
No, I'm a little bit intuitive, and I do think she's listening. I'm not sure if she'll be at the show on the 17th, but I do think she's listening.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
Like that
That's
song
amazing.
By Pitbull, someone classy, sassy, sexy, and real. You know that song?
Did you hear that in Vegas?
You've been practicing that.
Anyway,
Mark, you're amazing.
Thank you very much.
On.
Great to see you.
Okay, we'll see you
and
on the 17th.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you,
definitely.
Too.
Cornerstone First Financial.
I'll think of single friends.
Okay,
I'll
thank
think.
You. Cornerstonefirst.com.
Cornerstonefirst.com, correct.
Yes.
There we
awesome.
Go.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies. Great to
you
see you.
You got it. Good to see you, too.
Thanks.
She's well-connected. She knows, like, White House people.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We'll get you somebody.
Yeah, and you're like...
Classy, sassy.
Yeah.
What are they? What are the rules?
It's the Pitbull song.
Can you sing it for me?
No.
Help me remember.
That's the only line I remember.
Oh, yeah. How does it go? Oh, my God. I love all his songs.
I just wanna...
Uno, dos, tres.
I just wanted to make Mark sing.
No, you don't want me to. But thank you.
You're welcome.
So,
all right.
Awesome.
Good to see
Thanks,
you.
Guys. Great to see
Thanks.
You. I'll see you on the 17th.
Okay, Ronica, we got a couple more stories, then we'll get you out of here. I want to know how you feel about this. TheCut.com just ran a story. How much time should your baby or your child and your mom to two little ones, should they spend in the office? This woman wrote into The Cut and essentially says that my coworker's kid disrupts the office every day. I'm a woman, I'm four other women, but this kid comes in every day at 3 when they're done from preschool, and then the entire office changes. Everyone has to partake in playtime, then everyone's got to get the snacks. The entire place then turns into like a toy, basically toy room, and ultimately no one in the office gets any work done until 5. We essentially hang out with the kid, or we listen to our coworker, or our coworker has to excuse herself to breastfeed, do something else. Mm. It's nice in some ways to have a kid in the office, but after a while, it's beginning to feel like a problem.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
That's Mike, brutal on both sides.
What do you think as more women are bringing that? Because I plan on bringing my kids to work.
You say that, but they're very, I mean, it's very
really?
Distracting. It's very hard. I mean, number one, I mean, how is the employer letting this happen, right? I mean, if it's that distracting, it'd be one thing if the kids were just sitting there playing or whatever. But it sounds like if she's nursing, the kid is still pretty little. Little kids require a
there are
ton
two of,
them,
by
ton
the
of attention. I don't know. I would not bring my kid to work because I have to get work done. I mean, what she's saying is completely valid. But at the same time, like, I do want to say that I bet she had a conversation with her boss about, I mean, if the kid is already in preschool, if she's paying for that, then she's supposed to pay for care app. School gets out at 3 o'clock. How useless is that for moms that are working, right?
Right.
I mean, what
right.
are you supposed to do? And it's so expensive to pay for additional care,
yes.
which I had to do at Fox because my day ended at 7. So I had someone help and watch my kid. You know, it's brutal. And maybe her boss, out of kindness and sympathy to that situation that is very real for a lot of working moms,
sure.
said, okay, bring them. But at the same time, I mean, if no one's getting work done for 90 minutes, that's not acceptable either. The thing that I love to see bosses do more of is, at a minimum, I mean, if it's affecting workflow, something's got to change. But if there's an emergency, if something happens at the last minute,
right.
I do think that it shows a great deal of kindness if a boss says, bring him in today, or, you know, we'll help you, or work
it.
From home, like, go with that. Because when there's emergencies, that is brutal on a mom. But every day, I side with the woman.
Really?
The woman that said, it's affecting work. I do.
Okay, there you go. I mean, I'm sure it would drive me bananas,
too. It's hard. I mean, and it's not that. I'm sure she loves the kids. I'm sure the kids are adorable. But 90 minutes later, she just lost 90 minutes of productivity. And then she loses 90 minutes with her loved ones.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if she has to stay later, I just think, at the emergency situation, you know, I get it. But
how do you feel about having your kids at work, but, like, with
that's,
you know,
fine.
A nanny or someone that takes
care? I have no problem
care.
With okay. that. If someone's taking care do. Of them, or if the kids are a little older and the kids are totally self, you know, self-contained, they can play on whatever or, you know, do whatever, that's fine too. But it's just, if they're at that age where they require so much attention, I get that it's super expensive and
yeah.
it's hard, but at the same time, You gotta do your job.
You gotta do your job. Also, I loved this trending on Twitter yesterday, but essentially people think of the best things on the internet. Someone thought to remove one letter from famous album covers. Okay, so then they get totally different things, and the results are amazing. This was trending all day on Twitter yesterday. So, for example, they take Michael Jackson's Bad album, they remove the D, and then it just becomes the Ba album.
I love it.
what
are people doing that they can do this with? I need this kind of time. The Ba album.
The Ba album. I love this. They also took, some of these are really great. Fugees. So were you a big Fugees fan back in the day?
I mean, don't ask me much about music.
You're not a big music
girl. I mean, I love music, but I did not like buy albums or know the names of albums.
Well, this one, instead of the Fugees, the Score, which was their huge album.
Oh, there you go.
Becomes the core. And then it's just about, like, Apple cores. And then my favorite one is 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying, but they remove the H. And now it's Get Ric Flair or Die Trying.
I love it.
Get Ric or Die Trying.
I'm too old of a millennial for this conversation. So.
Really? Oh my God, I'm even older than you. I don't know why. I was so
I know,
amused
but
by
I'm
these
like
yesterday.
Old in spirit, you know, like I that's where I've let you down.
No, you're so good. You were amazing. People are obsessed with you, by the way, on our Facebook.
I am obsessed with you and I love you. Thank you.
Oh my God, I love you so much. I am so excited for you. You are super talented and it was just really great. It was a real honor to, like, work with you because I think you
loved it.
Totally got both sides, and I think you and I just really connected with, like, the struggles of relationships are really hard.
Yes.
And I love that you and I are both real, like, you're not in love with your husband every single day. Like, I'm not.
Sarah,
I'm like,
these are the things that get you in trouble.
Sorry,
I love you so much.
Okay.
I know you're watching.
You're funny as hell.
I don't
too.
Know if he's watching, you're but now he's not going to watch this because he's not going to. I mean, I think he would get that, but you have to be careful. This is why he is mad at you.
Oh my God, I know. Okay, well, I love Dan so much too. I do. I'm crazy about him. Everybody knows when I'm, like, around him. I just paw on him all the time.
But that's life, right? People get on your nerves. Of course, I get it. But
right. Well, I just you know,
if we're going to say that on the podcast, we prep. We talk to the husband. We say, look, we're going to put it all out there.
Oh.
It's not always perfect. You don't always love me.
Josh Danzig says that Ronica is one of the best coworkers I've ever had.
Oh, I love you, Josh.
People are loving the conversation about moms. This one, Tony says, I telework periodically, and it's a lot to have a 9-month-old
it's
around.
It's really hard.
Yeah, but at least I'm afforded the ability to do that. I wouldn't take him to work with me on a regular, though.
Yeah, and how great is that person's boss? I saw this story once. It was like a Starbucks thing. It went viral. The mom had an early shift. Her babysitter backed out, and she brought the baby to work, and there were these cops that sat with the baby. I mean, I love those stories. Like, we
me
need
too.
To love moms. Mom hate is horrible. Like, I'm done with it. We need to empower each other, but you still need to get your shit done, right? Like you still need to work. Like, and so I think it's just this, we have to like find a balance, right? And like employers have to get it. We need to have like, you know, you need to, once in a while, you got to give someone the benefit of the doubt, right?
Yes, that mom gets you have to.
That mom gets to telecommute sometimes. That's awesome.
So you are Ronica Cleary, R-O-N-C-I-A.
I-C-A.
I-C-A.
Well, like Monica with an R.
It's the wine.
The wine.
It's not this. It's not the brain. It's the wine. You're amazing. You are so talented. I can't wait. Your political career is going to be so big.
Thank you.
I was watching John McCain's For Whom the Bell Tolls.
It was a beautiful film.
It was such a beautiful thing.
Beautiful.
I thought Ronica is going to be there. And I said this to you, and I'm being serious. You know, I am like a female Howard Stern. So when, like,
and
the trashier I get.
And I watched the Howard Stern, your next
David
guest.
David Letterman.
Yeah,
because
I saw you watch that too. It was great. But I know you said a lot of your listeners are liberal. That film about John McCain, no matter your party, it's a beautiful film about somebody who's done a lot for this country. I think it's very inspiring.
Very
inspiring. Like,
but my point is, you are going to be like a big wig, and you have to promise that you'll come back despite how trashy the show gets.
You know what? Life is real, right? And Sarah, you are the
most. That is the most politically. Like, that is not a yes. That's not a no.
No.
Life is real.
I'm saying that I love that you're authentic, and I will be there. I'm saying I hate people who hide behind this crap.
I do too.
Like, I love that you're real.
Thank you.
That was a yes, Sarah.
That's good. Yes, she's back. You guys are in love with her. So am I. Ronica Cleary, check her out. She's fabulous. Thank you for being
on.
Best of luck. Bye, you guys. Be sure to follow me at Hey Frazier. We'll see you next week.